from Philadelphia. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA.
The Hudson Area Library Tween Advisory Council presents an original escape room, Altered Zone, New York, Monday, October 14th from 11 to 3 at the Hudson Area Library.
Backed by popular demand, come and play as a ragtag team of friends or family in this original escape room. This game is limited to 15 minutes, and the team with the shortest time will win a special prize!
RSVP online at hudsonarealibrary.org or call 518-828-1792. Don't miss all the fun.
Yeah, so come.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXE sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support. Thank you. Wave Farm's WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Justin Luke of Brooklyn, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXE. Grabbable, handleable, listener-fueled radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Coming up on our 22nd year of service to the worldwide amateur radio community, we are This Week in Amateur Radio, your all-amateur radio and technology news magazine and bulletin service of the air. This is edition number 1138, with a release and air date of Saturday, December 19th, 2020. Please take the program to your air following the cue tone. Coming up on our 22nd year of service to the amateur radio community worldwide in 2021, we are This Week in Amateur Radio, North America's premier amateur radio and technology news magazine and bulletin service of the air. Here are the stories for release around the earth as we come to air with edition number 1138 of This Week in Amateur Radio. The FCC Enforcement Bureau warns property owners and managers of significant new financial penalties for allowing illegal or pirate broadcasting on their property. A volunteer examiner coordinator testing group in Oregon offers testing from the comfort of candidates' cars. We'll have the story. The SAQ alternator will experience a silent night this Christmas Eve due to COVID restrictions. A scheduled slow scan television event from the space station will help mark 20 years of continuous amateur radio operations from the ISS. A U.S. government agency believes RF transmissions are responsible for employee illnesses overseas. There are some amateur radio events that are proceeding on schedule despite pandemic restrictions, while others have been totally canceled. We will tell you who is up and who is down. New Zealand has posted changes to their general user radio license. Finland radio amateurs are asking for an allocation at 1240 to 1300 megahertz. And what do you do if you are in a major disaster with no internet? We will have the story on some interesting technology you can build to stay connected in this week's report. These headline stories will come to you in a moment, along with this week's special features. This week is our special Christmas edition, and coming right up, we will have a great amateur radio story told by one of the 20th century's best storytellers on the radio, the late Gene Shepherd, K2ORS. As heard back in the 60s on WORAM in New York City. We'll also have the late Bill Barron, N2FNH, who will be here with a reading of A Ham's Christmas Packet. We'll visit with Bruce Page, KK5DO, and get an update from AMSAT and what's new with all of those amateur satellites in orbit. Our technology reporter, Leo Laporte, W6TWT, will tell us how to disable notifications in Google Chrome, and we'll revisit the new proposed network technology from Amazon called Sidewalk. Australia's own Anil Benshop, VK6FLAB, says that if you want to do HF operations in your apartment building, where do you start? Our own amateur radio historian, Bill Continelli, W2XOY, returns with another edition of the Ancient Amateur Archives. This week, Bill will talk about broadcasting in the pre-crystal controlled era and the new government regulations setting up a new amateur radio regulator and officially recognizing amateur radio for the first time. Our tower climbing and antenna master, Greg Stoddard, KF9MP, will have a few general antenna mounting tips when you are up on your tower. That's all straight ahead as North America's premier amateur radio and technology news magazine and bulletin service, This Week in Amateur Radio, takes to the air right now. Reporting from our headquarters studio here in Albany, New York, where Snowmageddon 2020 has occurred, where we had 36 inches of snow. That's 3 feet of snow here at our studio. Oh, and I forgot to say, I'm George, W2XBS. Happy holidays.
And reporting from our news bureau just outside Albany, New York, in the Geek Cave Studios, I'm Rich Lawrence, KB2MOB.
And reporting from our news bureau in Rochester, New York, I'm Dave Wilson, WA2HOY.
And reporting from our radio outpost high atop the Catskill Mountains in western New York, where we've just finished shoveling 32 inches of fine skiing powder off of the driveway, I'm Don Hewlett, K2ATJ.
And reporting from our news bureau in Troy, New York, where 18 inches of snow this week has made it easy to stay home and stay safe, I'm Eric Sattel, KD2RJX.
And from our soon-to-be-renovated Studio One of our Central Florida News Bureau, I'm Fred Fitty, November Fox 2 Fox.
And reporting from our news bureau in Northwest Arkansas, where the snow was here and now it's gone, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR.
Season's greetings. This is W2XBS. I would like to take a moment to wish all of our affiliates and listeners across the country and around the world all of the best of the holiday season. And as our present to you, please sit back and enjoy one of the nation's best storytellers talk about being a kid and getting on amateur radio. Now, for your enjoyment, here is Gene Shepherd, the late K2ORS, as heard on one of his broadcasts on WOR Radio in New York during the mid-1960s.
Time for Gene Shepherd, author, raconteur, and commentator on the contemporary scene. Here's Gene.
I remember very cleanly and distinctly the excitement that Friday night meant. It's a fantastic, it always will. Even to guys who are not in school, who are still not 15, Friday night is a special, peculiar kind of a dangerous night. And what it meant to me, I have to admit one terrible thing at one point in my life. What it really meant to me was Friday night was the one night that I could keep my ham station going until dawn. I did not have to get up early in the next morning. Even my paper route did not work early morning Saturday. The paper was not delivered on Saturday morning. I made my collections Saturday afternoon, but I could stay up all night. And I'd come home from a date, you know, the whole scene. I'd have the whole bit going, and about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, I'm with this girl. We're having a malt, you know. We're sitting in the drive-in watching Charlie Chan or some other big opus of the period. I can hardly wait, you know. I keep hearing it in my mind. I keep hearing the CQs on 40. I said, oh, boy, there must be. Gee, right now, about now, the West Coast must be coming in. Right about now, the W6s are starting to pound into the 9th District. And here I am sitting with Esther Jane, you know. Esther Jane kept saying, gee, what a penny for your thoughts. And I'd say, yeah, well, a penny for my thoughts. What'd you say? What? She'd say, a penny for your thoughts. And I'd think for a minute, and I'd say, shall I tell her about that Pi Section Network I was thinking of in my mind? This Pi Section Network, I got a terrific idea to change the standing wave ratio on my 600-ohm feed on my 40-meter zap. Shall I tell her about that? And then it would come out, you know, and I'd say, yeah, okay. And I'd say, you know, Esther, what I was thinking of that there is in the handbook, in the ARRL handbook, there's a terrific section on pi section networks. And I wonder if you'd like to go home with me, and the two of us will build a pi section network that will reduce the standing wave ratio on the 600 ohm feeds to my 40 meter. And by that time, I'd see her drifting away. And she'd be looking out of the front window of the car now, and she's watching Charlie Chan again. I said, what's the matter? What's the matter? Just think of the fun we could have together. You could hold the solder, and I could take the soldering irons in. I'd say, give me the solder. Quick. Come on. Now put a plier down there. Hold it on that terminal. Psh, oh, boy, would we have fun. And it'd be this long, pregnant silence. And I recognized that once again, Mighty Casey had struck out. And I could not, I knew then there were certain things that you just didn't talk to chicks about. Pi section networks, you do not discuss mercury switching systems with chicks. You do not discuss a Class C final with a chick. And you don't even discuss the ineffable mysteries of the universe of that kind with a girl. And I remember one period I was plunged into a profound funk, a real funk. And oddly enough, just the other night, I'm looking in the newspaper, I'm sitting there, and I'm down at the Horn and Hardarts, you know, and I got my egg cup in front of me and a big cup of Horn and Hardarts coffee, and I'm just casually going through the paper. And it was a paper that I found there. It was on somebody's table. I'm just going through it. And suddenly, Skip, a name hit me. A name just stuck right out of the headlines there. Now, we're used to big, you know, regular names like President Johnson, Dean Rusk, and Charles de Gaulle, Mickey Mantle and stuff. It was a name? I says, no, it can't be. It can't be. And it was an obituary. And sure enough, there it was, the name of a man who probably nobody in the entire Horn and Hardart, probably, I would say, anybody on 6th Avenue at that moment, sitting in coffee shops, sitting in H&H's and sitting in Bickford's, wherever they might be, if I ran from one of those tables to the other and says, look who died. Look at the name. Do you remember the name? The name would mean nothing to them. To how many of you does the name Heising mean anything? Did you ever hear of Heising modulation? Heising modulation. You know, there aren't many men in any field who give their name to an entire system or an entire formula or a new discovery. You know, like the Salk vaccine. We all know the Salk vaccine. Dr. Salk's name will be familiar and will be famous for generations, the name Salk vaccine. We know about Freud, you know, the Freud dream analysis ideas and Dr. Freud's hypotheses and so on. We know about Einstein's theory of relativity. Well, Heising lived over here in Jersey. He died just a couple of days ago. And I caught the name, and it was connected with one of the peculiar long blue funk moments I've ever had in my life. The Heising system of modulation is a system of AM amplitude modulation. Now, you're listening to me in most likelihood, if you're listening to 710 on your dial, I know you are, you're listening to amplitude modulation. That's AM radio. The other kind of radio is connected with another man. That's the FM radio. What's the name of the man, really, who was generally credited as being the genuine developer of FM radio? Come on, who is it? What kind of an engineer are you, for crying out? You know who it is. Why, he was there. Isn't that sad? The great men of our time, hardly any. Major Armstrong. Oh, for heaven's sakes. He also was involved in the superheterodyne theories. That's another thing. He was a great man. But the name Heising, it became so mystical, so involved in my life, like a Colpitts oscillator, for example. I wonder if old man Colpitts, who invented a certain type of oscillator, knew that for years and years and years there would be a little diagram in question and answer manuals, in ARRL handbooks, that would say Colpitts oscillator. Now, I'm not talking to you about radio here, so don't get bored here. I'm talking to you about something else. Can you imagine your name, let's say Witherspoon or Aschenschlager? Let's say if there were textbooks to be printed for 100 years from that, and it would say Aschenschlager's Law of Rottenness. And forever and ever, people would know the name Aschenschlager, and it's not even a man anymore. It's just a name. It's a name. Heising was not a man to me, and I was astounded to find a Mr. Heising died. And I read the obit, and it was the one. It really was the Heising who had created this system of modulation. Well, let me tell you, speaking of bad modulation, this is WOR AM and FM New York. Now, I'm not going to go into a technical description of what the Heising system of modulation is. I could go into that. That's for next semester. We won't do that tonight, but I will tell you this, that I am now on CW. See, I'm a kid. I'm about 14 years old. I'm a ham. And my whole life is connected with this stuff. And of course, I was also involved in other things, like I'm playing football and I'm playing second base and I'm going out with Esther Jane Albury and I'm going out with Dawn Strickland and I've got all the chicks going. You know, the whole scene is a gigantic fruitcake of existence. And connected with all of it, of course, and somehow weaving through it in this tapestry was this thing of back home in the front bedroom, my shack. And this was my special place, my shack. You know, the day bed is over here, and the windows are over here. And the shack was a bedroom we did not use. It was my shack. And I had this old table that I had bought from the Salvation Army for a dollar. And I'd cleaned it, and I'd put formica on the top of it and polished. I had a little vise on the side of it, you know, and I had the desk drawers all cleaned out, and I had compartments in there where I had resistors and condensers, and I had all the whole scene. I had a clipboard off to the left where I kept my log sheets and my plate readings and my grid drive readings and all that. And I had a rack. I had a 4.5-foot rack that I bought. I bought it in an old used radio store, a place where you buy old radio junk, you know. And I bought this rack. It was a big 4.5-foot rack, and it had big 19 and a half inch panels across it. And in it, this big 4.5-foot rack, which is a great big piece of iron, I had a 10-watt transmitter. That was the joy, the light of my life. It was CW, and every night when all the other kids, you know, were sort of just hanging around the living room and walking around picking their teeth and crying and whining and looking out of the window and yelling down the hot air register, you know, stuff that kids do, I would be in the front bedroom in my shack with my key. The time that Uncle Tom gave me that key, I will forever remember. He gave me an old railroad, beautiful railroad key with a sidewinder, you know, a real key, see. And I would be down there at maybe 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and I'm on there with my cans, my Brandy's earphones hanging on my head, and I'm on 40 meters. My 6L6 is laying it down on 40, and I'm right there in the middle of the band. 7182 was my Bliley X-Cut Crystal. And I am number one on 7182. And my rig had such poor voltage regulation, Skip, that the entire house, when I would press the key down, the lights would go, and about every 10 minutes, my old man would come, bang. Well, you cut out that. I can't even read now already. See, okay, Dad, all right. I'd sit there, and then I'd go, wait for a couple of minutes. I'd wait till, you know, you always wait till the ripples sort of die down. And the talk builds up again out there, and then I go, a few little Vs, you know. I am laying it out on 40. So this is my whole life. I walk around the streets with Esther Jane or with Helen Weathers or with Dorothy or one of the chicks I was going with, and I would hear a horn. A car would go past, you see, and I'd hear that old horn blow. You always hear this. If you're a real CW man, you hear it, and you can never get rid of it. You hear it all the time. I stand next to subway trains right now on 59th Street, and they come along, you know, and I hear the doors rattling and everything, and I hear them. They say things. In coach. He goes past roaring out of CQ, you know. It's the double A train. I can hear a CQ just as plain and easy, you know. I'm walking down the street with Helen Weathers or with Dorothy Anderson, and I hear the horns, you know, the horn goes. Some guy sends a K. I turn around and go. And there's a dull silence there. And then I'd hear obscenities. I'd walk along and somebody'd send an obvious obscenity. He doesn't know he's doing it, you know. He just say, bada, 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 bada. I'd dig Dorothy and I said, you hear what he said? She said, what? And of course, the word got out that I was kind of a nut. You know, kids who do things that all other kids don't do are always kind of looked upon as the nut, the crowd. Well, about that time, it was maybe about a year after I got on CW, and I was going up for my Class A examination. Now, this is a special exam that you take that involves amplitude modulation. It's about telephone, radio telephone, this whole business that we're involved in right now, you and I. You're listening to me on a radio set. I'm talking to you on an amplitude modulation transmitter and so forth. Well, that was that whole theory, diagrams and the whole business, and there was one special section called the theory, the adjustment, and the maintenance of the Heising modulation system. And I got involved in that. Somehow I began to dig this system. I liked to, it had a nice symmetry about its diagrams. It was a nice, somehow I dug the theory of the Heising system. Don't ask me why, I can tell you now. One thing, it's cheaper than most other systems. And I began to dig this Heising modulation system. And then I began to go down to the old surplus radio stores, and I began to look for chokes, filter chokes and stuff that I could build, I could use to make this Heising system. And it became almost the next big goal. You know, as we all live in our lives, whatever little life we have goals achieved and goals about to be achieved, and we have goals we're aiming at all the time. So a guy may live during a certain period in his life, and his idea is get a boat. And he walks around the street, and he thinks about boat. Or he may have this thing, get a promotion, get to be the chief clerk. Get to be the chief clerk. And he thinks about this all the time, get to be the chief clerk. Other guys have a thing, yeah, I'm going to make money on the AT&T. I'm going to make dough. You see, the reason we dig horse racing and the stock market and that kind of thing is because you can see goals achieved and also goals failed. That's part of it. And so each life, each day, is a whole series of little goals. Gee, if I can only get away to get a cup of coffee. Holy smokes, if I can only get away, get a cup of coffee. Oh, wow. And you go for about a half an hour, so you're working away there, and then all of a sudden you say, I'm going to go and get a cup of coffee. And boom, the next thing you know, you're sitting down there at that good old chock full of nuts, and a coffee's out there, and a goal has been achieved. A goal has been achieved. Bing, it's big, you know. It's there, you see. And there I was beginning to develop this thing, and Heising modulation. Now, I know this means nothing to you, but millions of hams are listening, and they're saying, yeah, man, yeah. Well, at that same time, there was a girl that I was really hung up on. I don't even remember this girl's name. It was one of those brief, momentary things, you know, where you get hung up on a chick. I remember she had dark hair, and she had sort of pink, light-type skin, and I remember she lived on the north side of town. And I remember I used to ride over there about every second day with my Elgin bicycle, like mad through the gloam, just to look at her house, you know, that kind of thing. Just to ride past her house once in a while, like, hey, look out! She'd never look out. But once in a great while, I'd see her at the tennis court, that kind of thing. I had a big hang-up on this chick. And at the same time, I had a hang-up on Heising modulation. Well, one day, I'm in this store, this old junky store that we used to go to. I'm down in the Ace radio shop. It's a crummy old lousy radio shop. They have millions of piled up turntables of old disreputable types, you know, wound for Bulgarian capitals, special types of winding that only work on 6.5 volts or some nutty thing like that, or 18 1/3 volts, all kinds of crazy equipment. And I came across the transformer. It was perfect for my Heising modulation. Well, I had about $1. That was about as much as I could go. And old Sam, back at the counter there at the Ace radio shop, is looking me right in the eye, and he says, $1, are you kidding? Do you realize it's a 300-mil transformer? What are you talking about, Mac? You don't find many of them anymore. That's a 300-mil Ford Darson transformer. And I'm there, confronted with it. Well, that night, I had a date. I had $1. This son of a gun wanted 2.5 for this transformer. Now, I had probably a total stake at the time of about $3, of which $1 was to go for a transformer that day, or something else. Maybe I wanted to buy it. Whatever I was going to get, it was going to be $1, see. I figured $2, well, we'll go down to the Orpheum, me and this chick. That'll leave us enough to get a hamburger over at Miner and Dunn's. And, well, you know, it'll work out pretty good. I'll maybe squeak by with an extra quarter or two. I had it all figured out. Well, Sam looked me in the eye. I looked Sam in the eye. And right there on that counter in front of us, it was laying right there. Now, this is the curse that all men have had to face all their time. All men I know. Is it going to be a boat? Or... Hey. Oh, yes, indeed. I don't think chicks have these kind of decisions to make quite as often as men. They may in the future. But men always have these little things, you know. They do. They have to decide whether or not to be a social animal or a rotten, crummy, selfish animal. Now, usually they devise it in such a way in their mind to be both. And so the guy will say, well, if I buy this transformer, I will be a happier person to be with. Not only that, I will be more fulfilled. And then I could certainly be able to fulfill my role with Esmeralda much. But actually, I'm investing in her, if you look at it in a certain way. If you look at it a certain way in a certain light, that the best thing I could do for her would be to buy this 300-mil Thor Darson transformer and build up my Heising modulation system, and from there on in it would be hotsy-totsy. That's the way my mind went. So 5 minutes later, I am going home with this big transformer under my arm. Oh, that excitement, you know. I had all the other stuff, you know. I was all ready to go. And that afternoon, I'm building and soldering, getting this thing going. You know, I got the diagrams out, and I'm working down the circuit values. And I'm hinching a little bit, you know. I got a couple of things where it says 0.2 microfarad condenser. I got a 0.1, you know, little things like that all the way down. Yeah, go for it. I'll make it work, you know. The resistor that it should have been, let's say, 1,500 ohms. I had one that was 2,700 ohms. You know, that's close enough for jazz, you know. So, well, anyway, it's now about 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, thereabouts. And I have built my first modulator. I don't know whether you know the excitement, friends. I don't know how I can transmit this to you. Of going on the air for the first time on your transmitter. Now, I'm not talking about CB. This is nothing. This is kid stuff. Come on. None of that junk. And by the way, many people today confuse amateurs for CBers. They're totally different animals, completely. There is no parallel between... A CBer bears about the same relationship to an amateur as a little grandmother riding along the West Side Highway in her 47 Plymouth bears to Sterling Moss. It's about the same, isn't it? Roughly, yeah. They ain't at all the same thing. Don't confuse them at all. And so I've got this Heising modulation system all done. I've got a 6L6 tube in the final. I got a dummy load on it. And I'm all set to try it out, test the whole thing out. I got the microphone. I got a single button carbon mic. Put the gain on, turn it all on. And then I stand back with the mic and I'm ready to go. And I've got my, I was using to test my modulation system, I have a 2-watt neon bulb, which I could see, it was about as close. And of course I had a milliammeter, I had an ammeter in the plate and so on. And so she's heating up. Slowly I apply the plate voltage. I had a variac and I'm applying the plate voltage to my final. She's now up to 700 volts. That's a lot of voltage on that poor old 6L6. She's a bright, brisk cherry red, you know, and I said, well, maybe I'll back it down a little bit. I go down a couple of notches, and I got about 500 volts on the plate, and then I switch in my Heising modulation. And there's one moment, just a moment of pause, when suddenly, without any warning, it goes... I get this fantastic chatter in my transformer. I back it down. I look at it. Wait a minute. I turn off the switches. Get off the diagram. I'm checking it over here. Check. Everything checks out. Yes, indeed. Let's see here. Well, maybe I had just too much gain on the input there. Maybe she was overloading. Motorboating. That's it. She's probably motorboating. So I turn it on again. I stand back and wait. And everything in my 6L6s glow, this nice cherry glow. And I turn up the gain a little bit. Hello, 1, 2, 3, 4, hello, ooh, for crying out loud, I back it down a little bit, hello, by the way, Mr. Heising was doing this to me, in case you don't know it. The man who just passed into the great beyond over in Jersey. Hello, 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 hello. And it was the first time that I had ever encountered one of the major curses of mankind, downward modulation. Now, that means nothing to your friends. Except suffice it to say that when old Shep talks to you here, transmitted signal of WOR goes up. As my voice goes up, the transmitter, the signal goes up. Well, my transmitter was working the opposite. As I would talk into it, it would go down. And I'm holding the thing up there. Hello, 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 hello. And now it's getting about 7 o'clock, see? Hello, hello, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, what a curse. And I could not get... And by that time, I decided, well, there must be something wrong. I'm not checking it right, so I'll call CQ. Hello, CQ, hello, CQ, hello, CQ, hello, CQ. And I'm tuning back across. Hello, I'm on 160, in case you're interested in the band. Hello, CQ, hello. And I stand by. And immediately a guy comes back right on the frequency. Gung! W9QWN, W9QWN. Hello, no. Fantastic signal. W9QWN, W9QWN. This is W9XXX standing by. Do you hear me, old man? Oh, W9XXX, yeah. This is W9QWN here. You're Q5R9 plus here, old man. The handle here is Shep, S-H-E-P, Shep. Handle here is Shep. We're running a single 6L6. About 10 watts, Heising modulation, modulated by a single 10, by a single 6L6 here, and a single button carbon mic. I'm using a 40 meter Zeppelin. Okay, W9XXX, W9QWN standing by. Kunk. Kunk. That signal comes back. W9QWN, this is W9XXX here. I recognized him as one of the great famous hams of the area. You know, it's like talking. It's like if you're an aviation nut and all of a sudden you're hooked up with Lindbergh, you know. I mean, you're down at the flying club and you two are discussing flying together, you know. And he comes back to me and he says, what'd you say the handle was? I don't remember working you before. I just thought I'd call you. You're messing up the band. You're lousing up the frequency here. It sounds to me like you've got a little downward modulation, and I don't think you're final. It sounds a little bit like you're a lot of parasitics there. And not only that, it sounds to me just a little bit like your neutralization is way off, man. I just thought I'd call you. I didn't want to get involved in any long rag chew. You better look into it, old man, and I'm going to QRT now. I think I'll pull a switch, and don't bother to come back. You sound rotten. Don't bother. Come back, old man. It's all right, fella. Your signal here is about, I'd say, around a Q3, Q2 to 3, about an R2. Well, that meant that he had to turn up everything he had just to hear me. And when he did turn it up to hear me, I was just rotten. And so he just, goom, he's gone. I'm sitting. Heising modulation, eh? Yeah, I turn it on again. I take my neon bulb. This time I put the dummy load in. See, I'm not going to radiate all over the band. And I get on there. Hello, hello. It keeps flickering downward. It's now 8:30, quarter to 9. My chick has been waiting for me since 7. It's at 7 o'clock. When I finally realize, you know, this way lies madness. In this way lies the antisocial animal. And that once you have committed yourself to the antisocial animal forever, you'll be down in some dank basement surrounded by half-empty ball jars full of nails. The rest of your life will be given over to this insanity, whatever it is. I knew that even then, as an animal. I knew even then that hang-ups can devour you. And so, about 8:45, I looked at this thing. I says, okay. I turned it off. And 15 minutes later, I am picking up this chick. And 10 minutes after that, we are on our way to the Aragon. We are on our way to this place where they had these terrible bands and stuff, see? And all the way on up, all I could think of was downward modulation. All I could think of, it was like I had failed as a man. I wonder, it's too bad that Tennessee Williams doesn't write plays about the things that really get guys going, that really get guys hung up. I have known guys for 2 solid years... to be eaten up inside. I mean eaten up. Where they yell at their chicks. They threaten to kill their daughters. They take a shot at their boss because of one thing. They get rotten gas mileage. They're getting 8 miles to the gallon. And it burns them up every time they go into that gas station. You know, they bought this monster, and it takes 14 gallons of gas just to get the town and back. Ooh! It's like Ahab and that whale, you know? And so we are on our way to the Aragon Ballroom. Well, have you ever danced with a chick when you got a Heising system of modulation on your mind with downward modulation and also a bad problem with parasitics? All the time I'm hearing parasitics in my mind. And parasitics are awful things. They're like little, when you hear parasitics on the air, you know it. It's like a swarm of awful, angry, sort of somehow debauched, erotic locusts. They surround your signal. It's a fuzzy signal. If you could tune past WOR and it sounds like a shaving brush that's been drinking, that would be like my signal was on 160, and I'm bugged. Well, on the way home, after about at least 4 hours of dancing, it seemed like 4 hours, went on endlessly, back and forth we're going. We're on our way home, and she turned to me, and she says, "I don't want to hurt your feelings." I said, what? Already, you see, I was back in my shack. You know, I've been sitting next to this chick in the Western Avenue car, but I'm already back in the shack, you know, and I've got an idea. I'll tell you what it is. It must be the cathode. It must be my cathode biases. That's it. I I'm thinking, I can hardly wait to get home. I'm going to change that resistor in there. Oh, what a fool, what a nut. And she says, now, come on. She says, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're one of the worst people that I've ever dated. I said, what? I don't make passes or anything. I'm a nice guy, you know. I took her out there. She said, you're one of the worst people I've ever dated. And she says, not only that, she says, but I think that your mother ought to take you to a doctor. I think you're unhealthy. Unhealthy? It never occurred to me that having a hang-up on a cathode follower circuit or having a hang-up on Heising modulation was somehow a perversion. It was a sickness. I said, well, unhealthy. I mean, I play football, all that stuff. What do you mean unhealthy? Now I'm getting a little bug with her. What do you mean unhealthy? Anybody with the kind of skin you got should holler about unhealthy, for crying out loud. She says, well, I don't care. She's bugged. Oh, a woman scorned even at the age of 14 is hell on wheels. That's all I got to say. So I'm saying, well, what do you mean unhealthy? She says, well, I don't think you even talked to me once tonight. What do you mean talk? Didn't I buy an orange drink? I bought you knee high. I talk. I said, I asked you if you wanted another one. I remember that. I said, this is fun. I remember telling you this was fun. She said, you did not talk to me once all the time we were at the Aragon. Long pregnant pause. I said, what am I going to talk to you? What do you know anything about downward modulation? She says, what? I said, well, I've got worries. I'm worried. Can't you tell I'm worried? Nothing is worried, more worried than a guy who is building something and it hasn't worked. I can tell you this, it drives you out of your skull. I said, I'm worried. And we rode all the way home on the Western Avenue car in silence. Got to the end of the line, took her home, says goodbye. Just goodbye. That was the end of that. I took off like a big speckled bird. I'll tell you, I didn't think of her. 8 seconds off, I'm over the privet hedges. I'm going, you know. I'm flying all the way home with my wings going, you know. Wow. Woo, up the front porch. Boom, in. Pow, into the front bedroom. Goom, goom, goom. The switches are going on. The old man sitting out in the front room there listening to the A&P Gypsies or something, you know. And I got all the switches turned on, everything going, waiting for it to heat up. I got the soldering iron heating up, and I've got the solder out there, and I have got that 2 micro-microfarad condenser, which I should have put in the very beginning in the cathode. It hit me halfway through Red Sails in the Sunset, what the problem was. Halfway through, I says, what's the matter with me? I got a 1/10 condenser in there. It should have been at least a 2 micro-microfarad. I'm soldering this thing up, you know. Boy, I heat this baby on. There, I got the microphone going. Dummy load. All right, let's see. Putting in a little grid drive there. Now she's, oh boy, she's doing real good. Ooh, ooh, ah. I tune the final plate. Ooh, what a dip. I'm tuning that final tank. Now, ooh. Yeah. Advance the gain a little bit. Hello, 1, 2. Oh, what a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight. My milliammeter in the final plate is ticking up ever so slightly. Ting, 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 ting. Up, she's working perfectly. I take my neon bulb. Hello, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, 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 hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, hello. Beautiful envelope. Magnificent signal. Pow! Out comes the dummy load. In goes my 600-ohm ZEP-V. Dum, pow! I'm tuning her up, oh, man. Up to the full 10 watts. Hello, 160. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello. Hello, CQ. Hello, CQ. Look at that meter flicking up in there now. Look at it. Right behind your head, Skip. Look at that beautiful sight. Hello, hello. Hello, CQ. Hello, CQ. Hello, CQ. Calling CQ. I sat there until I was red in the face calling CQ. This is W9QWN calling CQ and listening. I developed that real snotty way, you know. And listening. Come in there. Boom. I'd wait. Of course, the band was one solid massive heterodynes. I could hear nothing. Just whoo, all the big timers are coming in. It's late at night. And then finally, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I hear this guy calling. Hello, W9QWN, W9QWN. This is W8LFD in Cleveland, Ohio, calling. Hello, 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 W9. Oh, fantastic moment of total joy. You know how the guys who have reached the top of Mount Everest feel? I know that feeling. I know that feeling of standing on the top of a glacier, looking out over the Himalayas. Nothing but achievement. You can't go anywhere after this. There I sat that night, working guys all over the Midwest with my 10-watt Heising system of modulation. And it wasn't until there was a postscript to this. Years later, I am out of the Army. Years later. Oh, boy, long time afterwards. I am going through a department store. I am home about a week and a half, and I still got my uniform on. And I'm going through a department store in Chicago, and who do I meet but that girl? That same girl. And she's working in one of the big stores. In fact, she was working in Carson, in case you're interested. And there she is. And I couldn't remember the chick's name. And she couldn't remember my name. And she was behind a counter. And we both stood there, and I said, say, Hammond High. Didn't you go to Hammond High? She says, yes, of course. You, I remember you. I said, I remember you. Do you remember the... She says, yes, the Aragon. We stood there for a second. And then she finally says, you know, you were kind of a nut. Did your mother ever take you to the doctor or something? See about that? I said, no, no, that problem's all cleared up now. It's all cleared up. Little did she know that the problem was all cleared up. I was getting upward modulation.
You have been listening to Gene Shepherd, the late K2ORS, as heard on WOR Radio in New York. Happy holidays from all of us here at This Week in Amateur Radio.
Connecting to... The Random Access Christmas.
Now, stand by for playback.
A Christmas Packet, with apologies to Clement C. Moore. 'Twas the night before Christmas, the moon shone so bright. Its light on the snow was a beautiful sight. I sat down in my easy chair with a sigh. Through the window I stared at the stars in the sky. Suddenly I woke to a racket. I knew right away something came in on the packet. I rose from my chair and went back to my shack, while the radio kept up its clackety-clack. A brap burst out of my TNC. The headline said that it was for me. This must be a joke, was the thought in my head. DE, the North Pole, was the way that it read. I knew that it must be one of the boys, so I tried to connect to the source of the noise. So quickly I typed, con okay on, but just as fast as it came, it was gone. Then, from the parlor, I heard a soft thump. And then heard the front door close with a bump. Puzzled, I went to the living room door, and there my eyes were drawn down to the floor. I couldn't believe what I saw by the tree. Earplugs for my wife and a new rig for me. That sneaky old elf, he pulled quite a gag. While I was in the back, he snuck in with his bag. The few minutes I was on, packety-pack, gave him just enough time to empty his sack. Then from my set, I heard one last zap. I turned and was back in my shack in a snap. I thought I knew what this message might be, so as I sat down to look at the CRT, this line I read by the screen's tree light. Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
And now to the news. With this week's lead story, here's Rich Lawrence, KB2 MOB.
Our lead story this week comes from the FCC. The FCC's Enforcement Bureau today announced it had begun targeting property owners and managers that knowingly tolerate pirate broadcasting on their properties, exercising the commission's new authority under the recently enacted Pirate Act. Parties that knowingly facilitate illegal broadcasting on their property are liable for fines of up to $2 million. Pirate radio is illegal and can interfere with not only legitimate broadcast stations' business activities, but also those stations' ability to inform the public about emergency information, said Rosemary Harold, chief of the Enforcement Bureau. It is unacceptable and plainly illegal under the new law for landlords and property managers to simply opt to ignore pirate radio operations. Once they are aware of these unauthorized broadcasts, they must take steps to stop it from continuing in their buildings or at other sites they own or control. If they do not do so, they risk receiving a heavy fine followed by collection action in court if they do not pay it. In addition, our enforcement actions will be made public, which may create further unforeseen business risks. Under the new authority, the Enforcement Bureau will provide written notice to property owners and managers the agency has reason to believe are turning a blind eye to or even help facilitate illegal broadcasting. These new notices of illegal pirate radio broadcasting will also afford parties a period of time to remedy the problem before any enforcement action moves forward. In the first such notices issued today to property owners regarding their buildings in New York City, the respective parties were given 10 days to respond. The Bureau will consider any response before taking further action. Commission investigations have found that landlords and property managers too often are aware of this illegal activity taking place on their premises. The Commission has previously sent warnings to landlords and even sought cooperation from national property owners organizations in raising awareness. With pirate broadcasts persisting despite these efforts, Congress took action and empowered the Commission to penalize property owners and managers that knowingly permit pirate broadcasters to remain operating from the landlord's building or unbuilt areas. Landlords and property managers also may be found liable if a pirate station ceases operation for some period of time but later resumes at the same site. Separately, the Enforcement Bureau and the Office of the Managing Director also released today an order amending the Commission's rules to implement the new enforcement authority granted by Congress through Section 2 of the Pirate Act as codified in 47 U.S.C. 511.
The coronavirus pandemic has made life difficult for everyone. On the plus side, however, it's prompted creative solutions to work around the various roadblocks the pandemic has imposed. Volunteer examiners in Grant County, Oregon, affiliated with the ARRL Volunteer Examiner Coordinator, put their heads together to overcome the adversity and hold a safe and secure exam session. With more details on this unique exam session, we go to Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, who files this special report from ARRL headquarters.
Current health regulations in Oregon precluded both indoor and outdoor gatherings, so the Grant County Amateur Radio Club, the local Aries Group, and the Grant County Emergency Radio Infrastructure Coalition combined forces to offer five candidates the chance to obtain their first license or to upgrade their existing license, all from the comfort of their vehicles. Steve Fletcher, K7AA, who is the Aries Emergency Coordinator for Grant County, told ARRL that the group chose to hold a drive-up exam session on Saturday, December 12th. Fletcher reported three new technician class licensees and two new general class radio amateurs resulted from the session. Required ARRL VEC forms contained pre-printed data, including the FCC registration number. These were given to candidates on a clipboard. Each candidate took the exam in the front seat of their own vehicle.
Under the circumstances, we used four ARRL VEs for the exam instead of the required three. Wheeler County Aries loaned Stuart Bottom, K7FG, to help as the third required amateur extra class volunteer examiner. Everyone dressed warmly, and most candidates had their heaters running, Fletcher reported. A camper owned by Rhonda Mettler, KB5LAX, and a communications van owned by Fletcher served as sites to check results and sign forms. The Grant County Roads Department loaned its parking area for the exam session.
It will indeed be a silent night on Christmas Eve, as there'll be no Christmas Eve transmission from SAQ, the Alexanderson Alternator Transmitting Station in Sweden. The Grimmington World Heritage Foundation and Alexander GVV Friends Association cited prevailing circumstances in our society for the event cancellation. We find it sad to make this decision, but see it as a necessary measure to protect everyone involved. The announcement continued. Past SAQ transmission events are chronicled on YouTube. We truly regret this and hope for your understanding of the situation and continued support for the business. We hope that our old lady can soon be heard on the air again, the announcement concluded. The vintage Alexanderson alternator provided an electromechanical means of transmitting message traffic. It dates back to the early 1920s via spark transmission.
Amateur radio on the International Space Station will continue its year-long 20th anniversary celebration of continuous ham radio operation from the ISS this month with a slow scan television event over the holidays. With more details on the upcoming event from the space station, we go to Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, who files this report from League headquarters.
Amateur radio on the International Space Station, ARIS, will continue its year-long 20th anniversary celebration of continuous ham radio operation from the ISS this month with a slow scan television SSTV event over the holidays. The commemorative late December SSTV event will be held December 24th through December 31st, although those dates are subject to change. The frequency will be 145.8 MHz using SSTV PD120 mode. Over its 20 years, ARIS has supported nearly 1,400 scheduled ham radio contacts with schools, student groups, and other educational organizations. ARIS will continue to sponsor various commemorative events through November 2021, including more of the very popular ARIS SSTV sessions.
The first ARIS school contact took place in December 2000, not long after the first ISS crew arrived on station a month earlier and had made test contacts. The commemorative late December SSTV event will be held December 24th through December 31st, although dates are subject to change. The frequency will be 145.800 MHz using SSTV PD120 mode. Over its 20 years, ARIS has supported nearly 1,400 scheduled ham radio contacts with schools, student groups, and other education organizations. ARIS would not be the complex and growing program of education, operations, and hardware were it not for ARRL, AMSAT, NASA, and the ISS National Lab, said Rosalie White, K1STO, ARIS U.S. delegate representing ARRL. For these past 20 years and for the years to come, when we grow into lunar ham radio opportunities and more, the ARIS team will continue to be grateful to ARRL and all our sponsors. We could not do it without you. The ARIS ham radio gear for what would become NA1SS on board the station arrived ahead of the Expedition 1 crew, headed by Bill Shepard, KD5GSL. Shepard made the first ARIS school contact with students at Luther Burbank Elementary School in Illinois on December 21, 2000. NASA has marked the ARIS milestone with an infographic highlighting the educational contacts via amateur radio between astronaut crew members aboard the ISS and students. In celebration of the 20th anniversary of ham radio on the space station, ARIS took part in the ISS Research and Development Conference panel session, 20 Years of STEM Experiments on the ISS. A video developed from the session describes the program, conveys some key lessons learned over the past 20 years, and describes the ARIS team's vision for the future. 20 years of continuous operations is a phenomenal accomplishment, said ARIS International Chair Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, who's been with the program from the start. But what makes it even more extraordinary is that ARIS has achieved this through hundreds of volunteers who are passionate in paying it forward to our youth and ham radio community. On behalf of the ARIS International team, I would like to express our heartfelt thanks to every volunteer who has made ARIS such an amazing success over the past 20 years. Your passion, drive, creativity, and spirit made it happen. In September, ARIS announced that the initial element of its next-generation interoperable radio system had been installed in the ISS Columbus module, replacing outmoded and problematic station gear. A helpful addition to the ARIS website is a current status of ISS stations, which reports the present or coming operating mode of ARIS radios in the Columbus and service modules. Click on General Contacts and then Current Status of ISS Stations on the drop-down menu of the ARIS website to access the reports.
An interesting window now on the shadowy world of military goings-on in Russia. Or someone has helped themselves to the very latest communications equipment from a top-secret plane. I wonder if they're busy scratching the serial numbers off. Thieves have stolen electronic equipment from a Russian military aircraft known as the Doomsday Plane for its role in the country's nuclear arsenal. Reports say that unknown thieves broke into the Ilyushin IL-80 plane at an airfield in the southern region of Rostov. It's unclear where the incident took place, but 39 units of equipment and 5 radio boards were taken. The local government said that an investigation was underway. Military experts say that the aircraft is one of 4 IL-80s designed to be used as airborne command posts for Russian officials, including President Putin, in the event of a nuclear conflict. The Interfax news agency describes them as amongst Russia's most classified aircraft. Further details have not been publicly disclosed about the equipment taken by the thieves.
Here's the current schedule for upcoming ARRL Learning Network webinars. Visit the ARRL Learning Network webpage to register, check out upcoming webinars, and view previously recorded sessions. The following schedule is subject to change. QSLing in an Online World, hosted by Anthony Lusher, K8ZT. Learn all about the changing methods of QSLing in amateur radio, including traditional paper QSL cards and electronic QSLing methods such as Logbook of the World and eQSL. This webinar is scheduled for Tuesday, January 5th, 2021, at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, or 1800 UTC. Amateur Radio Logging, hosted by Anthony Lusher, K8ZT. Discover the advantages of keeping an electronic amateur radio log. Find out why you may need more than one software program for logging contesting, digital modes, special events, and more. Learn about using one full-featured logging program to pull everything together, interface with outside databases, handle electronic QSLing, and so on. The discussion will include file formats, importing and exporting data between programs, submitting contest logs online, and safe backups of data. This webinar is scheduled for Thursday, January 7th, 2021, at 12:30 p.m. Pacific, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, or 20:30 UTC. VHF, UHF Contesting and Summits on the Air, a perfect match. This webinar is hosted by Brian Betts, W7JET. Explore the challenge of VHF-UHF contesting and the success of the large-scale participation of Summits on the Air. Summits on the Air Summit Activators will be on the air in Arizona for their January VHF contest. This webinar is scheduled for Thursday, January 14th, 2021 at 12:30 p.m. Pacific, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, or 20:30 UTC. Emergency Communications, Why Train? North Texas Section Emergency Coordinator. Hosted by Greg Evans, K5GTX. Why should we train? Utilizing amateur radio operators in an emergency communication situation is a key function that can save lives. We must be able to respond to the needs of our served agencies quickly and responsibly. Topics covered include incident command system and its relevance, building on consistent training, interoperability with multiple communications providers, interoperability with VOAD and partners, and Mission 1. Get the information delivered. This webinar is scheduled for Thursday, January 21st, 2021 at 12:30 p.m. Pacific, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, or 20:30 UTC.
During the third quarter of 2020,